Good evening and welcome. It's KVC Arts. I'm David Fleming. Tonight we'll hear from comedian Scott Wood, host and MC at Legends of the 60s Live in Concert. That's coming up December 29th at the California Theater in San Bernardino. First, though, since the heat is gone, probably, and it's not too cold yet, Emmanuel Rogers has more on a book that could be a way to take the meals and drinks up a notch.
Joining us today is Jen Stevenson, co-author of the book, The Campout Cookbook. Thank you for joining us today. We really appreciate you being with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
You are welcome. Now, Jen, you and your co-author, Marnie Hannell, wrote this book together and includes some great advice about more than cooking. What led the two of you to write this camping help for the rest of us?
Well, we had just come off of our last book, The Picnic, and, you know, that's a book about having picnics together outside with your friends during the day. And so we thought, well, let's, you know, take it through to the evening and bring in the campfire. And we also both camped as kids. Like, I camped a lot. That's how we took our family trips. You know, my parents loaded us up into the station wagon and we hit the road and we camped. And so I have all these really good, nostalgic, happy food memories around the campfire. And so it's kind of a natural next project.
That sounds so great. So what are some of your earliest camping experiences that you remember fondly that helped you to write the Camp Out Cookbook?
Well, sure. So my mom was really big into our camp setup. So we had, you know, quite a few tents, and we even had a camp bathroom, and we had a big camp kitchen setup. And so I remember thinking camping was slightly questionable. I mean, there were a lot of bugs. I was always scared about bears, but I loved mealtime. I loved a big camp breakfast with pancakes and sausages and eggs, and I loved dinner time because it was kind of one of the only times in our lives we got to eat hot dogs.
Yeah.
And not only that, but we got to cook them on a stick. So, I mean, as a kid, that was just heaven.
Right.
And so just kind of simple memories, but just the deliciousness of cooking food over a fire.
That sounds great, even right now.
So, I know, right?
Yeah, it really does. But now, Jen, before we go any further, I would like to ask if you wouldn't mind sharing with our listeners where they can find out more about this book and your work.
So the book is online and wherever books are sold, and we have a website, thecampoutcookbook.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I am a food writer here in Portland, so I write a blog called Under the Table with Jen, and I write a book called The 100 Best Places to Stuff Your Faces in Portland.
All right. And hope I get an opportunity to do that one day. All 100 of them.
Right? But,
visit.
Yeah. Very, very delicious town.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about setup. Why is the site so important in the, you know, in the Camp Out Cookbook?
Well, I mean, if you've ever had the campsite by the bathroom, then you choose your campsites very carefully. So we have a checklist for you. You want a site that's not too close to the bathrooms, but you don't want it too far away either.
Right.
You don't want to be by the trash. You want to make sure there isn't a huge patch of poison oak behind your tent. And look for stagnant water, because come evening, you do not want to be mosquito food.
Ah.
And so definitely, you know, look for those kind of pitfalls. And then your topography, you want your site to be level so that you're not sleeping on a slope and you don't want a bunch of rocks or, you know, bugs or really loud river. If that's not, you know, if you don't consider a river soothing, you don't want it right outside your tent, those kinds of things.
So no pitching my tent right next to a downward slope where there's rocks and a river
right
at the bottom. Got it. Okay.
That would be bad.
Okay. What things do I need to consider for making my site as comfortable as possible without a mobile home?
Oh, sure. So our motto is pack heavy. We don't leave anything behind if we can help it. My setup, personally, I have a really big tent, and Coleman makes this great double cot with an air mattress on top, so you're very comfortable, but you're still off the ground. And you can bring twinkle lights, bring comforters, bring pillows, bring plenty of chairs for everyone. And don't forget to have lots of whiskey. It's better to have more than not enough, you know, kind of like firewood. And just bring those little creature comforts. Why not? You know, fill the car up and have fun with it.
Okay, now growing up, I watched movies where whiskey was in the camp medicinal thing where you got shot by the other cowboy and they poured whiskey into it. What do you use
yes
it for in your campouts?
Well, you can use it for, you know, to clean a wound, absolutely. But hopefully you're using it for something more fun, like a cocktail. So we have 5 flask cocktails that we start our fortifications chapter with, and it's just the idea that you could pre-mix the cocktail in your flask and take it with you to the campsite. And I love our off-the-grid old-fashioned because it has rye whiskey, a splash of maple syrup, a splash of amarena cherry syrup, a couple dashes of bitters, and then a little bit of orange zest. And you put that in your flask, and it's ready to go, and you can share that with someone or not.
Yeah, this is really sounding good. I have to tell you, I have interviewed different people about camping cookbooks and things of this nature, and I have never found one this complete before. I look at your
good.
Which lean-to are you, and it's just a little chart, a little simple thing, but it's got a lot of humor, and it actually has practical advice. But I am so curious about where you got the 99 ways to use a thermos.
Oh, that's so funny. So in our picnic book, we had 99 ways to use a mason jar because I can't even tell you how many mason jars we own and use for everything. And so in this case, we translated that over into how to use your thermos because we pack a lot of thermoses when we go camping. We have our trusty old Stanleys. And you really can use them for so many things. You know, they could hold the flowers on your table. You can make oatmeal in them. They can hold your car keys because you don't want to lose your car keys.
Right.
So we had a lot of fun coming up with the 99 ways to use a thermos.
Yeah, I really wish people would get this book just for the humor in some of these things. If that's all they like, it's humor. But it is a really good, complete camping book. And I am so impressed by the food because the food has been almost elevated to gourmet-type eating out in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. Aren't we supposed to suffer through burnt food, bug-infested drinks, and dropped steaks? I mean...
No, we don't think so.
That's a great answer.
We want you to have, you know, really next level meals when you're camping. But at the same time, when we wrote this book, we wrote it for any skill level in the kitchen. And no matter whether you're a beginner or whether you're a seasoned cook, you'll find a recipe in here that works for you. And like take the pizza night, for example. It's so simple. You make your dough at home and you bring it to the campsite. And from there, you can go as simple as you want, tomato sauce and cheese, or you can get really creative with your toppings and just go all out and have a fun pizza night in the outdoors with your family. So it definitely runs the gamut there. You can go simple or you can really get creative.
Yeah, I love the way you have the book sectioned out where people can prep things at home. We don't usually think about that for camping.
It makes it much easier.
Yes, I am sure it does. I've been camping and have complicated it myself. Now, I would love to ask, what are some of your favorite recipes for the cookout?
Oh, sure. You know, I have such a soft spot for just our classic Dutch oven roast chicken. There is something so incredibly magical about cooking. It's one of, you know, the most basic dishes, just that perfect roast chicken. And so to do it over a campfire, even though it's so simple, it just seems like quite an accomplishment. So I love doing that for dinner. And for dessert, I really love the molten chocolate orange cakes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a riff on that childhood classic where you would make a cake mix and you'd pour it into a hollowed out orange and bake it in the coals. But we kind of wanted to update it for how we eat. And so we did a chocolate cake mix. And when you're at the campsite, you add in melted chocolate, melted butter, a couple eggs. You pour the batter into hollowed out oranges and you wrap them in foil and put them in the coals. And you'll start smelling the orange oil mixing with the smell of the chocolate and butter. And then in about a half hour, you have a little molten chocolate cake inside of an orange. And it's the best possible way to end your day.
Okay, I had to promise myself I wouldn't leave while you were talking and go find food right now.
I would have understood.
Now, what recipes would you start beginners on if they're new to camping?
You know, one of the easiest ones to make... Mm-hmm. And actually, just you can't really beat nachos, or chorizo skillet nachos. And all you have to be able to do is stack cheese and chips and chorizo and pico de gallo and add all the fixings in, and then you just bake them in the coals for a few minutes, and you have the best nachos ever right there at your campsite, and it took 15 minutes.
Oh, that sounds great. As our time is running short, but I wanted to ask you this. What is the most important part of camping apart from the right drinks to have on hand?
I think it's just the idea that when you're cooking with your, you know, you're with your family and your friends and you're outside and you're having this perfect experience in the great outdoors, and you need to remember that camp food does not have to turn out perfectly to be perfect. it's okay if you burn things. You know, I went camping last week, and I totally burned the cornbread. I've made it so many times, but I burned it. And my family didn't care. They loved it. They thought it was delicious, and we were having so much fun. And it was a really neat memory in the end. And so just, like, leaving those expectations at home and just coming out with delicious food, and you're ready to have a good time.
Okay, see, yeah, my family would have insisted on more drinks before they liked me again.
Fair enough.
Okay. Jen, is there anything from your book, The Camp Out Cookbook, that I haven't touched on that you would like to speak on?
We just really want to encourage people to get outside and, you know, take your friends, take your family. It's very restorative to be in nature, and, you know, it kind of gives you that chance to unwind and enjoy the great outdoors, and I think it, too, fosters that connection with the outdoors that we don't get enough of these days. You know, we're so busy and working, and it just, you know, it allows you to reconnect with Mother Nature and with your family, and it's just a really good time, and
yeah.
Should have really good food.
All right. Well, this is a very good book. I'm speaking with Jen Stevenson. And Jen, this is a very good book, The Camp Out Cookbook, Inspired Recipes for Cooking Around the Fire and Under the Stars. And I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It was so fun talking to you.
Thank you.
That was Manuel Rogers in conversation with Jen Stevenson, co-author of The Camp Out Cookbook, with more at thecampoutcookbook.com, online at Under the Table with Jen, also at Portland's 100 Best Places to Stuff Your Faces. You're listening to KVCR. It's on 91.9 KVCR. I'm David Fleming. Coming December 29th to the California Theater in San Bernardino, Affordable Music Productions presents Legends of the 60s live in concert. It goes beyond being an afternoon of great music, though. It's a night of comedy as well. Once again, here's Emmanuel Rogers.
Speaking with us today is comedian Scott Wood. Scott has been a joke writer for Paul Rodriguez, Joan Rivers, and Jay Leno. Scott is also a 30-year veteran of stand-up comedy. Within his comedy, Scott's voice impressions will keep you laughing. Thank you for joining us today, Scott.
Absolutely. It's great to be on the show and just talking all things comedy and clean comedy and life in general, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, you are a 30-year veteran of comedy, but you know what I'm so curious about? I'd like to get this out of the way. What has been the hardest part of doing comedy for you?
The hardest part of comedy. I guess, you know, I love the career, and after 30 years, I still enjoy it. Sometimes with a lot of travel,
yeah,
it can kind of wear on you with, you know, 90% of what comics do is the travel, you know, the flying, the driving, the rent-a-cars, the hotels, the, you know, we're putting up with all the elements, driving in snow and triple-digit weather and just getting to the next gig. So, again, it's 90% of the travel, and then 10%, you know, you're on the show. You can really just fly 6 hours and get to the East Coast, and you get to the hotel, you check in, you go do the show, for my 45-minute show, go back to the hotel, the next morning fly all the way back home. You know, so it's like 6 hours each way plus hotel and travel for a 45-minute of my time, but I think that would be it. Most comics I know say, yeah, sometimes the travel can get to you, especially if you're doing a ton of shows or you're away. When I did a lot of cruises, I was away when my children were little.
Right.
And, you know, but my wife understands you're making the money, but sometimes you got to miss the family on the cruise show, Valentine's Day gigs and
wow.
New Year's Eve gigs, you know, so that's the life of an entertainer, right?
Right. Okay, conversely, what is the best part of your job?
Oh, everything else. I mean, just being able to do what I love as a full-time career, and travel, of course, is a part of that, but you just have to learn to enjoy it. And I've been everywhere, all over the U.S. The cruise ships that I do have taken me all over the world. And just to meet great people like yourself, you know, an audience that just finds what you find funny also funny, and that's the great thing about being a comic. I mean, you're in the now. People will let you know whether you're funny or not, and you're just right there, you know, doing your thing, telling your jokes, and moving on to the next one. So, I mean, I loved it as a kid. I always knew I was going to do stand-up. In the fourth grade, I just knew that I was going to be a comedian. And,
wow.
And, yeah, I would see all the old comics on TV growing up as a kid, and I could make people laugh and do voice impressions. It came real easy. I really, you know, comics, we love it when you're laughing at us. And again, you're validating, saying, hey, what you think is funny, we also find funny, and you're very creative. And so it was just a career I went for right out of school, you know, hitting the comedy clubs and building an act. And here it is 30 years later, you know, still doing it and still in still loving every minute of it.
Yeah, I noticed that. I've seen some of your work and listened to it also.
Well, I apologize.
Not at all, because I noticed something. You really like your audiences. Why?
Yes. Well, you know, and you've got to be likable, too, yeah. You know, but we love our audiences because, you know, if they're there and, you know, let's say they paid the entrance fee and a 2-drink minimum and they've had a hard week at work, they want to laugh. You know, comics, we're the court jesters. You know, you do radio. The president runs the country, apparently.
Yeah.
Sanitation workers do their thing. Doctors, lawyers, teachers. And at the end of the week, here we are. What are we? Well, we're the court jesters. We come in and we make you laugh and forget your troubles for a little while. So, you know, I do love my audiences. You know, Rodney Dangerfield said, you know, if the audiences really like you, then you're a hit. You know, if they really like you as a person and they're not offset or put off right away by you and you're a likable comic and fun, then you can say and do whatever you want. You can take them wherever you want on stage and they'll go right along with you. But it's that likable factor. Even Don Rickles, who went after the audience, you know, people still thought it was funny. He was likable, and they knew it was just, of course, an act that he was, you know, talked about as one of the sweetest, nicest guys, you know, by Bob Newhart and all the people who knew him as just a great, sweet, you know, humanitarian and great guy. But, you know, and then the act was the act. So if the audience likes you, man, you're in.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard that about Don Rickles. I've heard that description of he's a teddy bear. It's like, wow, okay.
And what a great comic, you know, and he just passed away earlier this year. All the greats are gone. I grew up with Don Rickles and Rodney and Henny Youngman and Phyllis Diller and Joan Rivers and you know, the guys who were 10 years older than me, those were the guys in the 80s when I was starting out, you know, and they were just making a name, Dave Letterman, Jay Leno, you know, and the George Carlins and all those guys who, you know, are just 10 to 11 years older than I am, you know, and still doing it, you know, and that's the thing about comics. Even Seinfeld, after his mega hit, went away, you know, on his own choosing. He made all of his millions, but he, you know, you go right back to stand-up. Jay Leno still does it. He still did it while he was hosting The Tonight Show. You know, comics, it's just that love of the stage and writing down your jokes, and we have to be in front of an audience. You know, Billy Crystal said it best, it's a big hug from a room full of strangers, and that's what that laughter is. You know, we don't know you, but we want to connect with you through our jokes, and we hope that what we find funny, like I said, you also find funny, and that's what's great about comedy. And they'll let you know, either you're going to bomb or you're going to make it.
That's Scott Wood in conversation with Emmanuel Rogers. Scott will be MC once again at Legends of the 60s Live in Concert, presented by Affordable Music Productions, December 29th at the California Theater in San Bernardino. More at affordablemusicproductions.com. You're listening to KVCR. It's on 91.9 KVCR, also at kvcrnews.org. I'm David Fleming.
You've opened for so many well-known names, and this just blew me away. Frankie Avalon, Chubby Checker, Blood, Sweat, and Tears, and many more.
Right.
What was it like to open for these wonderful entertainers?
Oh, my gosh. Fantastic, you know, and I still do. I mean, Debbie Reynolds before she passed, and Donna Summer, and you know, it's great because, like with the doo-wop groups, the Platters and the Drifters and the Coasters, you know, there's a lot of these original guys still around, and they tell all these great stories of days gone by, you know, back in the 50s and 60s. And remember then when we did that big show and we were on American Bandstand, or remember, you know, and Debbie Reynolds put on a fantastic show and we were backstage, and she, even at that show, the couple of shows I did with Debbie Reynolds, it was great. She goes, oh, my gosh, you're funny. Can you think? I scribbled down a couple of jokes for her. She loved it, and she used them in her next act. So, you know, all these artists, they're still going strong. Again, that's the love, whether you're a singer or a band or a comic. You know, as long as people are still buying tickets and coming to see you and loving what you do, that's the part that we love. And so, yeah, all these artists are great. Chubby Checker, oh my gosh, probably one of the hardest working men in show business. That man does an hour show. you know, I came out and did about 20, 25 minutes and brought him out, and he did at least 45 to an hour. And I'm telling you, that man had that audience up on their feet. And these are all the seniors.
Right.
You know, I'm doing all these senior, you know, people 65, 75 plus, 80 who remember, but they're still active.
Yes.
And I mean, you know, and that's the same age as Chubby, and he's out there doing the twist, and he's dancing, and, wow, and he's bringing people up on stage. And the man is soaked in sweat when he's done, and people are going crazy. So, you know, I guess it never gets old. As long as you still got it in you, keep going. But these artists are great. I love them.
Well, did you ever spend time trying to make them laugh, you know, just for kicks and giggles behind the stage?
Oh, of course. I mean, I'm always on. You know, my wife says it's 24/7. Whether it's two or three people in an elevator and I'm telling them a joke or it's in front of an audience, you know, I just like to make people laugh. So, yeah, I'm usually cracking, you know, cracking wise with anyone I'm around, you know. And with comics, a lot of us do, a lot of us don't. A lot of times, too, and that's, you know, that is one way that you find out if comedy material works in conversation, because one of the ways I tell comics to find out if what they're writing and what they're talking about is funny is this to use it in conversation. You know, some people could be talking to me about marriage and we're all having a good time and talking about our spouses. And maybe I wrote a couple of jokes recently, some one-liners about marriage. So I kind of mix it into the conversation. And if it gets a nice laugh from everyone, we say, hey, that's a keeper. That's going in the act. And that's the same way with comedy, too, when you're on stage and you're improvising and something new pops into your head. If it gets a huge laugh, you know, you tuck it away in your comedy file in your mind, and then you bring it back up on another gig, you know, because it worked before, it can work again. So I always enjoy entertaining, whether it's in a small group or large people, you know, I'm just humorous. For me, this is how I look at it. This is my gift.
Okay.
It's a free gift from God. God gave me a blessing that I can write and perform and make people laugh.
Right.
You know, being a comedian to make people laugh, I tell comics it's like a superpower because, you know, we can evoke an emotion, and that emotion is laughter, from people whenever we want just by saying certain jokes that we know are funny, that if I say something now, I can make you laugh.
Right.
And I go, that's our comic superpower, you know. We're here as the court jesters and the people to make you forget your troubles. So I love it. So whether it's small or large, I don't mind. I like telling jokes and being funny all the time.
Okay. Now, I need to ask you, Scott, will you take just a moment, please, and share with our audience where they can find out more about your work and what you have upcoming?
Yes. All you got to do, we'll go to the media that everyone is on, and that's Facebook and Twitter. On Facebook, it's Mr. Punchline. So that's my moniker for these last, you know, several years as a one-liner. So if you go to Facebook, you know, Mr. Punchline, you can like me. All of my comedy gigs, all the dates are on there. You can direct message me or even email me. All the information is on there to know where I'm going to be performing in and out of your city, all through California, Southern California, Northern. I even have dates that are, I got Phoenix, Arizona coming up again.
Right.
You know, I travel all over. So if you want to follow me on Facebook, Mr. Punchline. Also, Twitter. You can go to Twitter, and it's @CleanComic. I'm clean, which is another thing, of course, which is very rare for comedy, but it's @CleanComic, and you can follow me there on Twitter. And all the information is there, and you can just see where I'm going to be. And if you want to email, too, you can just email the office, CleanComic. Once again, very simple, CleanComic at hotmail.com. And ask any questions, where you're going to be. You can pick up my DVD online or order it through there, the brand-new comedy DVD, Controlled Insanity, which is in stores and also online. And my new comedy writing book, if you're interested in being funny and writing jokes and learning how you write jokes, my comedy writing workbook. It's a great book. It's not a book about comedy. It's a comedy writing book, so you get started in writing comedy right away when you get it. And again, it's called The Fast and the Funny. And that again, that's all online too, especially on Facebook. If you go to Mr. Punchline, you'll see all these different ways to order all these cool things.
All right. I think I was starting to order while you were talking, so I'm going to stop that now.
There you go. I know you wind me up and let me go. I'm a mouthful.
Now, again, before I move on to more comedy, I really would like to know, what is Affordable Music Productions, and what do you have coming up with them?
Well, Affordable Music Productions is my dear friend Nathan, and he's got a lot of these great artists, like I mentioned, and he produces a lot of these great events. And coming up on December 29th, and they've got a lot of great artists. Again, that's all on Facebook, Mr. Punchline. But we're going to do a big show at the theater out there in San Bernardino. And these are just these great shows, you know, with these artists. Again, the Coasters, the Drifters, the Platters, all the artists change all the time. I mean, the Flamingos, the Diamonds, dozens. I can't even think of half of the people, Emmanuel, that I mean, all these people. And still going strong, too. I love it. I mean, when the last show I did with the Coasters, Leon Hughes, you know, the man is like almost 90, and right. he's still out there singing and doing some soft shoe and bringing the audience to their feet, you know, and still loving it, you know. You know, that's the good thing about being a musical artist, though. I do want to caution you as a comic, because, you know, when you tell a joke to somebody or you hear a comedian, after a while you kind of know their jokes. So that's why we always have to write new material. So that's kind of the downside, is you always got to keep writing, keep it fresh. They always want to know, you know, your new comedy, new comedy, because we've heard your old jokes. Now, if you're a music artist, forget about it. If you're the Beach Boys or Anita Baker or the Doobie Brothers or anybody, you can live off your oldies for years, right?
Right.
People go back to see Barry Manilow because they want to hear all the songs we all know and have heard before. But if you're a comic and I've heard the joke before, you know, I'm not going to pay money until you get a new act.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. All the music artists, they're all living off the old, you know, the greatest hits, right? When I opened up for Donna Summer, you think she was doing new music? No, they want to hear Last Dance and, you know, and same with Blood, Sweat, and Tears or all those guys. You know, we want to hear, you know, if it's the Coasters, we want to hear Yakety Yak and, you know, all that stuff. So music lives forever. You know, jokes don't have a long, sustainable shelf life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You go, oh, I've heard all these before. And then there's a second curse, because another comic said, Scott, what about that? What about you have all this great comedy and they love you, and then when you do all the new stuff, people get mad. They go, oh, I told my friend about this funny bit you do and these funny impressions, and then you didn't do them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How come you didn't do? So they want to know where's the new stuff, and then they get mad when you didn't do the old classic stuff.
Well, I'm going to try to encourage them a little bit here today, because one of the things you didn't really talk too much about was YouTube. And you have a lot of good work on YouTube, man, that, okay, if you didn't do it at the show, take that person home with you, and boom, there you go. You can laugh all day with Scott.
All day long, on YouTube. You just go to Comedian Scott Wood on YouTube, and there's a lot of stuff that I've done over the last 30 years, you know, comedy, impressions, all kinds of stuff. And speaking of impressions, Donald Trump, just popping in here to your listeners, terrific. I love what you're doing, Emmanuel, tremendous. You're doing some tremendous work, tremendous. I don't know what it is, but it's tremendous.
Oh, I'm so torn about that one.
Well, then I'll go back 4 years and I'll do Obama. I'm excited to be here. My fellow Americans, we have a crazy white boy at the helm. I was here last week with my wife, you know, my wife, Beyonce, and our two daughters, Serena, Vanessa.
That's Scott Wood in conversation with Emmanuel Rogers. Scott's the MC once again at Legends of the 60s Live in Concert, presented by Affordable Music Productions, December 29th at the California Theater in San Bernardino. More at affordablemusicproductions.com. You're listening to KVCR. It's on 91.9 KVCR. Also at kvcrnews.org. I'm David Fleming.
Now, I'm loving the impressions, and I understand, you just did two of them. You have about 298 more that we haven't
I know, right?
And now, George W. and Gary Busey, I have to admit, were two of my favorites that you were doing. How did this come about for you, as far as doing these impressions?
Well, when I was a kid, I could do a lot of the, just starting out, especially in the early 80s, right out of high school and hitting the comedy clubs. You know, I knew I had this knack that I could mimic and do impressions. So with all impressionists, it's just about having a good ear, and then you kind of listen to what the inflections of the voice are, high, low, baritone, you know, things like that. And then you try to take on the mannerisms of them. Like all the great impressionists, you know, Rich Little and all the right. ones that have come, you know, since him,
yeah.
To kind of look like him or use a hat or a wig or a nose or a pair of glasses, you know. So I've always loved doing it. And so, like I said, I've been doing it since the early 80s. And back then, you know, in my act, it was like Pee Wee Herman and Alf.
Wow.
And Nixon and Carter, you know, all the old presidents. And so you got to try to stay current, too, you know. But everyone loves Bush, you know.
Yeah.
I bet George Bush is looking at the George W. Jr., right? He's looking at America right now and going, hey, America, George W. Bush here. I bet I look pretty hot and sexy right about now.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I got too excited about that.
That's right. And Gary Busey, he's crazy. Hey, America, this is Gary Busey, and I just want to say I'm a squirrel. Okay.
So we lost Gary Busey. Yeah, we just lost him right there. I got you.
Yeah, we lost Gary a long time ago, but no one told Gary. Oh, yeah.
All right. Who are some
of you? Of course, you have Liam Neeson. I want you to listen to me very carefully, Emmanuel, very carefully. I will find you, and when I do, there's going to be trouble, my friend. I've acquired a set of skills. Housekeeping, vacuuming. I do whatever my wife lets me. You don't want to mess with Liam Neeson. He's a bad dad. He'll find you and he'll hurt you.
Yeah, and I wanted to let him know, you know, I really didn't take anything, so you can just stay home, Liam.
That's right. Nothing's been taken. First, they took his daughter. Oh, no. Then they took his wife. Lucky.
Okay.
That was Napoleon Dynamite. Heck yes, I'll do whatever I want. Dang.
Oh, wow.
For those who remember Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah, no, and I not only remember him, but I was just wondering if you could do, you know, put together Napoleon and Liam together in their own adventure and go find something that wasn't taken.
There you go.
Yeah.
You never know. That's the good part about doing impressions, too, you know, is, you know, we can have fun with them. We can put the celebrity we're doing in any situation, right?
Right.
So, you know, that's always fun. Like if Donald Trump, I can imagine Donald Trump doing stand-up comedy. You know, can you imagine like, great to be here at the club. Terrific, terrific. Quick joke. The other day, believe it or not, are you ready for this one? Stormy Daniels and a horse walk into a bar. The bartender says to both of them, why the long face?
Oh, okay.
Okay.
But
I'm bummed.
Yeah.
Here, this is Rodney. What a crowd. I'm saying I get no respect at all, Emmanuel. No respect.
Yeah. You know, it's a good thing that Donald Trump does have the Secret Service if he was on stage. I'm just going to leave that one there.
They would have to be standing right next to him for most of the stuff that he says.
Okay, I was imagining in front, but I get you.
Yeah, there you go.
And, you know, and at least with George Bush, we had a guy that when a shoe was thrown at him, he got out the way by himself. I was so impressed at that.
I'm telling you, no one ducked like George.
No one.
He was quick.
No, you say that you try out some of your comedy on people around you, elevators here and there. So you do it in real life situations, but do you do this at home with your wife or on the road with cops?
Yeah, all the time, you know, especially at home, trying new jokes, different things. And it can either be a blessing or a curse, depending on how you look at it from my wife's perspective.
Right.
You know, because with all the impressions, too, she tells her friends she never knows who she's going to bed with. So, right? Hey, because sometimes she could come to bed, and I'm like, hey, this is Bill Clinton, and I am excited to be here. Yeah, that's right. Hey, Bubba in the house. So I think she wants me to learn Denzel, I'm thinking, because she's a fan. But anyway.
Yeah.
You know, being married to an African-American woman, you got to sleep with one eye open. She likes to DVR How to Get Away with Murder.
Well,
but But I do whatever my wife tells me because black wives matter.
Oh, okay.
And I mean that. Black wives matter. But anyway.
I hear the love.
Yeah, so sometimes they enjoy it, sometimes they don't. But yeah, I try new stuff out on my wife, or she might help me out with an impression. And she's written a lot of funny jokes that are in my act that are very funny. I go, well, that's a good one.
Right.
And she would, because she has a great sense of humor, which is what attracted me to her. It's a lot of fun, you know, and she's been my biggest supporter and my cheerleader, and she knows, again, you know, that on New Year's Eve or on some Valentine's or the big nights where I'm out there making money for the family, you know, that she doesn't get me, but she gets it, so she's not worried at all. And she understands because she's an artist herself. I mean, she has her own career with her clothing design and her jewelry and all the big events and shows that she goes to with her merchandise and
right.
selling online and all these different sites and stores, so... You know, we won't get to do our own thing and do what we love, so it's very exciting.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah.
It really does.
We're home all week with the kids. You know, our daughter just graduated going into the military. Our son is still in middle school, but it's great because as a comic, I work weekend nights. My wife's at home selling online, and she does her weekend shows, too. So we're here all week with the kids, so we're very hands-on right. as parents. So I really enjoyed that privilege as well as a comic. That, you know, comics don't have the regular 9 to 5, you know, and thank God for that. Who wants to drive into L.A. every day and back again? Forget
right.
about it. For those who are the Southern California listeners, for you know how that traffic is. It's nuts.
Yeah.
That's why I don't curse in my act, Emmanuel. I save all my cursing for the freeway.
Yeah.
People
good
do
choice.
Crazy things on the freeway in Southern California, you know. There was a lady knitting. She's knitting while she's driving, and she's all over the road with those crochet needles.
Yeah.
She almost hit me. I rolled down my window. I started yelling at her. I yelled, pull over, pull over. She yells back, no, it's a sweater. And I was wrong. I thought it was a pullover.
Yeah, you know, I think she's actually doing a tour across California. She's been spotted
a few
times.
I hear you, because people drive crazy no matter what. Yeah. You could be doing 90 and it's still not fast enough. They're flying by you. I was doing 80 or 90 on the freeway and it was supposed to be 65 and that's still not fast. The guy is right on my back bumper, several inches behind me, and he's yelling at me, honking his horn, flashing his badge.
Yeah. Yeah, that guy. Yeah.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah, red, white, and blue is nice and it's all American until it's in your rearview mirror.
Yeah, and I understand that you really like conversing with police officers in such a kind way.
I do. Yeah, the cop, he tells me your eyes are red. You've been drinking. I said, well, officer, your eyes are glazed. You've been eating donuts.
Okay, brave man, brave man.
Yeah, but very brave, very brave. I mean, he tried to give me a ticket for an illegal U-turn. I said, I didn't even want to turn, but the sign said, no, U-turn.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do, argue with the sign or what?
No, I mean, it's the law. Come on, they put the sign there.
It's the law.
It's the law,
people. And laws are meant to be broken, apparently, by me behind the wheel. Because people, I mean, I saw a guy shaving in his car. He had his leg out the window with the straight razor.
Oh, wow.
All foamy. Very lovely. But enough about my dad.
Yeah, okay.
Did I tell you my dad? You know, my dad just turned 94 in June.
The last time I had heard, he was 92, I believe. So I'm catching up.
That must have been 2 years ago because the man just hit 94 and he's still upright.
Right.
It's incredible. I said to my dad, I said, 94, you could go tomorrow. He said, I hope so. I haven't gone today. That's too much information. I don't need that. The man's trying to buy a bowel. It's crazy.
Oh, wow.
It takes him 90 minutes to go tinkle. I'm telling you, it's too much, this man. You know, the man, he's 94, and he still drives. He's got a bifocal windshield.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He hit a couple of mailboxes. He calls me up. I hit a couple of mailboxes. I said, Dad, where's the car? He said, inside the post office.
Well, now, Scott, I'm no doctor or anything, but if he's having problem tinkling, he might want to get some crystal, you know, and just shake that around a little bit.
He might.
And there you go.
The man has a prostate the size of a basketball.
Wow.
So,
how good is he at the game?
We call him LeBron.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Scott, you have something coming up next month on Pure Flix. Would you mind sharing with the audience a little bit about that?
Yeah, all they got to do is go to, if you have PureFlix Comedy and PureFlix.com.
Okay.
Just check out Pure Comedy, and it's going to be happening next month in November. It's hosted by my friend Mark Christopher Lawrence.
Ah, we just spoke with him.
Comic friend of mine. We've been friends for years, and you know him from movies and the television series Chuck that was on NBC.
Yes.
So he's the host. He's got a lot of great comics coming through. Each guy gets his own special, but that will be happening next month. I don't have an exact air date, but if you just go to PureFlix.com, you can go online. That's PureFlix.com, just put in Pure Comedy. Pure Comedy, because it's all clean comedy, which we need more of.
Yes.
And you can check me out there. I've got that event coming up, plus, live shows. And if you want to book me, you can also just, like I said, go on Facebook, or you can just go to cleancomic@hotmail.com. And I'm cheap and I'm easy. So,
wow.
Have jokes, will travel.
Wow, I think I did again learn a little bit too much there. Hotmail. And cheap and easy.
And and that's Hotmail, MALE. But seriously, what a crowd.
Right. Now, I believe
what's going to say when he leaves the stage? You've been a great crowd. I'm terrific. I'm here for the next 2 years. Good night.
Now, I believe with your affordable music productions, you're going to be at the beautiful California Theater here in San Bernardino.
That's correct. The California Theater in the city of San Bernardino. It's going to be a great night of music and comedy. I'm hosting once again. We did one at the beginning of the year, and now we're doing another one. So, yes, affordable music productions and all of that, too. All the info and all the flyers, all the posters, all the great comedy clips. Once again, Facebook. Mr. Punchline, you can like me, and you can see where I'm going to be, and just hit me up if you need any information, and I'd love to see everyone out at my shows, come out and get your laugh on.
Yeah. You have given me so much more time than you had originally said you would, and I do appreciate that.
I'll hang up now.
No, you can't. Not just yet, because there is something about this clean comedy thing you're doing, and
right.
I understand for you. Okay, comedy is a gift given,
mm-hmm.
but was it also a calling?
Yes.
Yeah.
I believe it was, because as a young man, I was an alcoholic and rang with the wrong crowd and dropped out of school and was messing around like all young people do, trying to sow their wild oats, as it were.
Yes.
But being funny was just something that I wanted to do, but I wasn't giving it my full attention. More so than I was towards the alcohol and just, living that young man in his 20s, crazy, woo, I'll do what I want to do, that kind of mentality, because I figure I'm funny and one day I'm going to be a comic, but I was doing nothing about it. So it wasn't until I got clean and sober, allowed God to work on my life as a Christian man,
right,
and rededicate that life to him and just say, man, you know what, this is ridiculous. There are plenty of drunks in the audience. I doubt that they need one more up on the stage. So, you know what I'm saying? And
yes,
you get sick and tired of being sick and tired and that lifestyle, and you're going nowhere, and you go, man, like I told my kids, it's a testimony, of course, to anyone. After a while, you go, look, where am I going? What in the world am I doing? I'm a dog chasing his tail.
Right.
And friends would say, Scott, you're funny. You do impressions. You keep talking about this dream. When are you going to make it happen? And, you look in the mirror and you need to say, look, if it's meant to be, it's up to me. No one's going to hand it to me.
Right.
No one's writing my act. No agent's just going to call me up and discover me. Hey, I heard you're hilarious. I'm putting you on TV. It doesn't work that way. You go for it. Go for it. You make your own luck. Is there grace involved by God above? Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
But we have to, there's a scripture in the Bible that says faith without works is dead. I can believe all day long, but I need to put feet to that faith.
Yes.
So I built an act after I got clean and sober. I got an agent. I started doing all the clubs, and I just focused on what I really, really wanted to do. And you with your career, or young people at music or acting or the arts, or anything, being a nurse, being a doctor, whatever it is you want to do, go for it.
Right.
Don't take no for an answer. If you're hanging around with negative people who are bringing you down and telling you, oh, that'll never happen, well, maybe it won't happen for you. But it's going to happen for me, and by God, I'm going to do everything I can in my own power to make it happen. And a lot of times, you know, it's always you know somebody who knows somebody.
Right.
You know, they used to call it five degrees of separation from, like, Kevin Bacon, you know, and someone who knows someone who knows somebody. I think it's less than that. Basically, you just got to figure out, what do I want to do? Who do I know that's already in that field? How can I get to this person, hang out with them, talk to them, find out how they did it, and then do what they did?
Right.
And do whatever it takes to, you know, like you in radio, or me with comedy, or anything. You know, if it's a dream worth dreaming, then it's worth having. And, you know, just write it down on paper, look at it, pick up the phone, and go for it. And that's what I did. That's what I did in my career. So it was a calling. I love to make people laugh, and it's what I do best. You know, it's why I'm at home when I'm on stage. I have to do this. I simply have to. So, you know, and being clean too, I feel that it honors my family. Yeah. It honors God that I don't have to drop the F word. I don't have to get all nasty. I don't have to sound like all the other comedians that every other word is just a curse word.
Yeah.
It's X-rated. Come to dirty comedy night. You know, I turned down Carnival Cruise Lines because they wanted me to be dirty. And I only share that story because the guy said, hey, we heard about you. You're hilarious. And we want you to do Carnival Cruise Lines, but we want you to do a dirty show. Do you have a dirty show? And I said, no, I don't. And he was asking me, prompting me, please.
Wow.
We just can't you? He was asking me to be dirty. Now, here's my thing. If he saw me do an hour show, and he laughed, or someone recommended me and said, Scott Wood does like an hour show, and he's
right.
hilarious, and he's all clean. That alone says something.
Yes.
Why would he want me to be dirty? Why, if I'm already getting huge laughs? You know, it's harder for me to be dirty, being clean all these years, and anyone can curse. But,
yeah.
you know, that's just, again, I don't tell comics. I encourage them to be clean. If they want to be dirty, that's fine. Certainly, there are huge artists in this world, from the George Carlins to Chris Rocks,
yeah.
and other people, from the Sam Kinisons, who's no longer with us, or the Dice Clay, that have made millions being filthy and vulgar or cursing. The Eddie Murphys, the list goes on and on.
Right.
But there's just as many guys, from Seinfeld to Leno to Brian Regan to Jim Gaffigan to Ray Romano, to Jimmy Fallon, who were clean,
right.
hilariously and clean, you know, and the old guys too, you know, from back in the day to Milton Berle and Steve Allen,
yeah.
and
oh, Jonathan
you know,
Winters,
so
Robin
the list
Williams.
Goes on
yeah.
and on, but that's just what I choose, and I decided to make my mark on life that people can say, you know, he was a good father, he was a good husband, and he was a good, hilarious, clean comedian that made people laugh, and give them something to think about.
That's Scott Wood in conversation with Emmanuel Rogers. Scott's the MC once again at Legends of the 60s Live in Concert. That's December 29th at the California Theater in San Bernardino, presented by Affordable Music Productions. More at affordablemusicproductions.com. And with that, we wrap up another edition of KVC Arts. Thanks again to Scott Wood and to author Jen Stevenson. Here at KVCR, thanks to Lillian Vasquez, Rick Dulock, Benjamin Perper, Isel Guapio, Emmanuel Rogers, Shireen Awad, Trisha Ahmed, Jesse Rosales, and KVCR General Manager Keith Bergfeldt. Music beds and themes heard on KVC Arts composed and performed by Sean Longstreet, so thanks to Sean as well. You can hear past KVC Arts programs at kvcrnews.org/arts. And David Fleming, thanks especially to you for listening and for your support, which you can do any time of the year. Go to kvcrnews.org. And thanks again.